Hello everybody, this is Joel's message for Palm Sunday, the 24th of March. The reading is taken from Psalm 73, verses 16 to 28. Today is Palm Sunday with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but I offer you another passage which speaks of another entrance into glory. In Psalm 73, Asaph testifies to an inner turmoil which completely shook him, and he shares his personal approach and his conclusions. We are reading from verse 16 through to verse 28, chapter 73. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground, you cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are all like a dream. When one awakes, when you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Firstly, the problem of Asaph. The great torment of Asaph in this psalm is the question of the success and apparent happiness of the wicked, that is to say, of those who have resolutely turned their backs on God, while the believer, for his part, is regularly confronted with numerous difficulties and numerous failures. We have painful questions too. I'm not going to list them. But the psalmist confides to us that after reflection, he will become aware of an extremely precious reality which surpasses everything else. His secret lies in this approach. I started to think. And he offers us a good example to follow. In difficult times, in crisis, when everything seems to be collapsing, taking the time to rethink the foundations of our faith. We speak of the four pillars of the church in Acts 2. Here we have like four pillars of the psalmist on which his whole life can rest. When difficulty leads to God. But in Psalm 73, what appears from the beginning, and in a large part of the text, is the difficulty of the believer in finding the answer to his questions. The psalmist here testifies to his doubts and his fragilities. He admits that he almost lost himself in the twists and turns of his anxieties. He admits that he was only stupid and ignorant when he struggled with his insoluble enigmas. This is not very encouraging nor very flattering, but it is an observation that can be beneficial for us, because we see that his inability to explain the world and his wavering faith ultimately pushed him in the right direction. They brought him to the sanctuary of God, that is to say, in a more intimate relationship with him. And finally, he will receive a revelation which is much more than a simple answer, which goes far beyond the sphere of his problems in which he was going in circles. The answer came for him through awareness and the effort of reflection. When I was still very young in the faith, I often asked God to reveal himself to me in a very personalized way, through a direct, clearly perceptible, miraculous revelation, which would ultimately save patience and effort. I never received these signs that I was waiting for, until the day I understood that the Lord could not declare his love to me more clearly than through his sacrifice on the cross. No sign could ever top that one. And the richness of his word would always be enough throughout my life to fill me. I still consider this understanding today as a grace that God granted me. Yes, walking with the Lord and communion with him cannot do with attentive listening and reflection, cannot do without attentive listening and reflection. There are many calls for reflection in the Bible. Just in Paul's letters, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Do not become easily unsettled or alarmed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Thirdly, a light revelation. In verses 18 to 20, we read what was the culmination of the psalmist's reflection. Initially, his conclusion on the final fate of the wicked, whom God will one day punish and who will disappear. That is one thing, it is a step, but what follows prevents us from seeing in these words the ultimate and sufficient explanation which resolves all the problems. It is not the only conclusion of the psalmist and certainly not the most important. After the reminder of God's justice, which will actually be exercised one day, and which will definitely put an end to evil, there is more. There is the confession of the psalmist, which is the fruit of a luminous revelation. What we read in verse 23 is not, "Now finally I understand everything." It is much more than the satisfaction of a man who has finally emerged from the tunnel of his annoyances, his torments, and his bad feelings. He speaks of the bitterness of the heart which blinds and which keeps us in dead ends. What we read in this verse is the revelation of this psalm. It is the culmination of a long journey for Asaph. I am with you always. You have taken hold of my right hand. You lead me by your counsel. Then you will receive me into glory. Through this magnificent profession of faith, the psalmist finally affirms that the great answer for him, above all expected answers, is the presence of God in his life. He recognizes the closeness of God at his side at every stage of his journey, however chaotic it may have been. So I think it is worth dwelling on each of these four affirmations of Asaph, which are like four pearls for us. I am always with you. We read this strong affirmation twice. I am with you. And this assertion from Asaph is not a pretension. The author does not boast of his loyalty and perseverance. This statement goes hand in hand with the second, I am always with you, because you took me by the hand. It is you who came to me, as Jesus will one day say to his disciples. It was not you who chose me, no, it is I who have chosen you. John chapter 15, verse 16. What encouragement in this profession of faith. What relief for us when we are tempted to despair, when we beg God to come, when we call upon him to come down, when we expect him to manifest himself in a tangible way. What powerful encouragement is in this word from Asaph, which affirms to us that God is indeed there, with me, in our midst, when we gather together, like this morning. You have taken me by the hand. This is therefore the basis of the psalmist's assurance. This truth is a central biblical truth. It is he who came to meet us. We say with good reason, I converted, I had this experience. But the reality is that we did all this because he met us first and because he made his work in us. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And the psalmist can say always, because if we fluctuate, God guarantees us the most complete security. What immense encouragement for those who, perhaps among us this morning, still say to themselves, I have a lot of difficulty grasping the promises of God, grasping the hand that he extends to me. I cannot hold on. I give in so easily when I find myself all alone. What was true for Asaph is true for us today. It is God who has taken us and holds us in his hand. He won't let us go. Asaph declares to God, "You have taken hold of me by the hand." And Jesus much later will affirm, speaking of his people, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." Can we find stronger evidence of the presence and faithfulness of our God? You lead me by your counsel. The word counsel is one of the many synonyms for word in the Psalms. See Psalm 119. Laws, precepts, ordinances, commandments, statutes. This third statement from the psalmist is the key to walking with God on this earth. It is indeed the word of God which leads, which enlightens, which guides in all situations. And being led by the counsel of God is the program of a lifetime. It is the patient accompaniment of God day after day, over time, in his perfect faithfulness. The eternal word, which will not pass away even though heaven and earth pass away, is the only source of our spiritual nourishment. It is the means par excellence by which we can know the Lord and his will for us. The thirst for God's teaching, step by step, which strengthens hope and builds character, is the expression of a much more mature faith than that which constantly demands immediate signs. Jesus revealed the priority role of the Holy Spirit when he announced his coming to his disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 26, we read, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The promise was perfectly fulfilled. After Pentecost, the authors of the New Testament wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all that became the teaching of the apostles, on which all the first churches were solidly founded. You will receive me into glory. So what glory is the psalmist talking about? Is this glory for us based on our works? Some have sometimes mentioned it during funerals under the ovations of the whole heavens. Very moving, but not necessarily completely consistent with reality. The glory that Asaph speaks of is the glory of God himself. This glory is our greatest reward. Who else do I have in heaven but you? What a subject of immense joy to be welcomed into the glory of our God. It is infinitely more than all the subjects of personal glory that we could imagine. What consolation to know that the outcome of our life will be the free and undeserved welcome into the glorious presence of God. Conclusion. This testimony is one of the Bible's clear affirmations that everything is in God's hand. My body may be exhausted and my heart fail. God remains my rock and my precious possession forever. Is this profession of faith of Asaph also ours? It is up to everyone to respond. It can be nourished by this promise from the prophet Isaiah. In quietness and trust is your strength. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. A promise that we should never forget. A promise that can free us from agitation, excitement, and impatience. This psalm ultimately invites us to unconditional trust, like the little child who snuggles into our arms and who, while a tear still falls on his cheek, finds a smile again because he knows that whatever happens, these arms will carry him. This psalm invites us to a permanent communion every day and 24 hours a day with the Lord who remains forever our rock, our refuge, and our most precious possession already here on this earth.